أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. ولعنة الله على أعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Respected scholars, elders, my dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. After the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam had plotted to throw him in the depths of a well, they approached their father Yaqub, and they basically emotionally blackmailed him, saying to him that, why don't you trust us with Yusuf? Allow us to take him with us tomorrow so that he can eat well and he can play. And the response of Ya'qub was the following. In ayah 13, قَالَ إِنِّي لَيَحْزُنُنِي أَن تَذْهَبُوا بِهِ. He says, verily it grieves me for you to take him away. وَأَخَافُ أَن يَأْكُلَهُ الذِّئْبُ وَأَنْتُمْ عَنْهُ غَافِلُونَ. He mentions two reasons as to why he is concerned about them taking Yusuf. The first is that he doesn't want to be separated from him. This shows you the strong attachment between Ya'qub alayhi salam and Yusuf. And then he mentions a second reason, and as we discussed last night, there is a discussion among the ulama about whether this was a real concern of Ya'qub or not. Some scholars say that because there were pastures in Canaan, there were indeed predators that used to inhabit those lands. So this was a real concern that he had. And other ulama, they say that this was an instance of tawriyah, where Ya'qub says something that has more than one meaning, and he intends a certain meaning, but the listeners understand something else. And some ulama, as we mentioned last night, who are of a more mystical persuasion, they were of the belief that when he said, وَأَخَافُ أَن يَأْكُلَهُ الذِّئْبُ, he was actually referring to the brothers themselves. Now, what's interesting is that the response that is given by the brothers only addresses one of those concerns. He gave two reasons as to why he does not want Yusuf to go with them. The first was what? قَالَ إِنِّي لَيَحْزُنُنِي أَن تَذْهَبُوا بِهِ. It grieves me that you would take him away. The second reason was the reason of the wolf. What was the response of the brothers? Ayah number 14. قَالُوا لَئِنْ أَكَلَهُ الذِّئْبُ وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ إِنَّا إِذًا لَخَاسِرُونَ. The only concern that they address is Ya'qub's fear of the wolf. There is no mention of the grief that he will feel as a result of Yusuf being taken away. Now, why is that? Now, number one, this ayah reveals to us that these boys are not dutiful to their father. If they were truly mu'mineen, the fact that this will cause huzn to their father should be enough for them to abstain. Because it's haram to cause grief to your parents. Now, the reason why they don't even address this first concern is, this is the reason why they're hatching this plot. This is precisely what bothers them. That is the strong attachment that Yaqub has towards Yusuf. So they don't even want to address this issue, because that is the very reason why they want to get rid of Yusuf alayhi salam. So they say, they address this concern, the concern of the wolf. They say, if the wolf were to devour him while we are a strong group, then surely we would be losers. They're trying to say that, how could this happen when we are a band of strong brothers? فَلَمَّا ذَهَبُوا بِهِ وَأَجْمَعُوا أَن يَجْعَلُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبِّ. The next ayah. They take him. Yaqub alayhi salam was powerless. He had no excuse to keep Yusuf, and he knew that the brothers were adamant about taking him. His hands were tied. So Yusuf alayhi salam, he goes with his older brothers. And you can imagine, you know, when you're the youngest, you're excited to go with your older brothers. It's going to be an outing. So they take Yusuf. فَلَمَّا ذَهَبُوا بِهِ وَأَجْمَعُوا أَن يَجْعَلُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبِّ. They all came to a consensus. They all agreed that they were going to cast him in to غَيَابَةِ الْجُبِّ. As we mentioned last night, the well that they throw Yusuf in is not a bi'r, because bi'r is well, but in the Arabic language, a bi'r refers to a well-developed well. It's a well that's constructed. غَيَابَةِ الْجُبِّ is basically a ditch. It's a hole in the ground, and they put him in the recess of that ditch. Now, what's interesting is that it is said that when they were lowering Yusuf into that well, now you can imagine how shocked he was. A young boy, maybe 8 years old, 7 years old, he thinks that he's going to spend the afternoon playing with his older brothers. And suddenly they start to rough him up. They start to push him around. They start to kick him. They start to physically strike him and abuse him. And as they are lowering him into the well, there is a moment where Yusuf alayhi salam smiles. And the brothers, they could see the smile of Yusuf. So they ask him, this is not a moment to smile. Why are you smiling, O Yusuf? This is not a hadith, but it's a story. It could be an expression of the state of that moment. So Yusuf alayhi salam, he's smiling. They ask him, why are you smiling? We're dropping you in this ditch, in this well. He says, growing up, I never thought that anything bad would ever happen to me. Because I always used to tell myself that I have 10 older brothers who would protect me from any harm. And lo and behold, I'm smiling now because the very brothers who I saw as the source of my protection and strength, it is my own brothers who are now betraying me and throwing me in this dark well. It is now that I am realizing that I only have Allah as a protector. You see, brothers and sisters, it's one thing to read about tawakkul and to think about trust in Allah. But sometimes you have to go through these moments of betrayal. to realize that the only support system that you actually have is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they drop him in this well. Now what's interesting is that the Quran tells us at that moment, when Yusuf is about 8 years old, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to him. He inspires his heart. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't go into details about what the brothers did. It fast forwards. And this is perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way of protecting the honor of the brothers, because eventually they will repent. So why expose them any further? Keep the details of their crime to what is necessary. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He inspires Yusuf. And He says to him that one day you shall inform them about what they are doing while they do not perceive. They won't know who you are. Now this inspiration reveals three things. There are three implicit messages in this wahi that he receives. Number one, that he's going to survive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا, it means that you're not going to die in this well, O Yusuf. You're going to survive. You're going to make it. And you will eventually be reunited with your family. Yes, you're going to go through a period of separation, but you will one day see them again. And you will be in a position of power and authority. You will inform them about what they did to you. You'll basically put them on trial. You'll question them about what they did to you. You will be in a position of power. Now, what's interesting, my dear brothers and sisters, is that if we go back to the statement of Ya'qub, where he mentions that I don't want you to take Yusuf because I am afraid that the wolf will devour him. There are some very interesting narrations that we have from the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam that speak about this statement of Ya'qub. We have a narration from Imam al-Sadiq salawatullahi alayhi. Allahumma salli ala. Where the Imam alayhi salam, he says, قَرَّبَ يَعْقُوبُ لَهُمُ الْعِلَّةِ اِعْتَلُّوا بِهَا فِي يُوسُفِ. Imam al-Sadiq, he says, Ya'qub brought the excuse close to them. So they used it as their justification regarding Yusuf. In another narration from the Prophet, he says that the sons of Ya'qub did not know that wolves actually eat human beings. فَإِنَّ بَنِي يَعْقُوب لَمْ يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ الذِّئْبَ يَأْكُلُ الْإِنسَانَ حَتَّى لَقَّنَهُمْ أَبُوهُمْ. Now what is Ahlul Bayt trying to communicate here? They are speaking about the importance of being careful with your words. Ya'qub inadvertently gives them an excuse and a justification regarding disposing with Yusuf alayhi salam. This goes to show us that when we are surrounded by people who can misuse our words, we have to be extra careful. As parents, as leaders, we have to be mindful of the ideas that we introduce to people's minds. We should not assume that everyone who is listening to us is innocent and pure-hearted. Yaqub alayhi salam, he inadvertently shares something that is used against him with his own son. Now, Yusuf alayhi salam, he remains in this well, according to narrations, for 3 days. He stays in that well for 3 days. Now, he's trapped because it's a very deep well. They put him in the recess of the well. There's no way to climb out. Now, you can imagine the psychological state of this young boy. He's alone. It's pitch black. He's been betrayed by his brothers. The narrations tell us that at this moment, Jibreel comes to Yusuf. And some ulama have said that this is an indication that his nubuwwah has begun. Because this is the first time that Jibreel comes in contact with him. So his nubuwwah begins. So as we mentioned, Yusuf alayhi salam will go through a number of stages in terms of his spiritual development. So he's going to go from prophethood and eventually he will attain the position of imamah. So he's in this well and Jibreel appears. And he teaches Yusuf a dua. And this shows you the power of dua. He comes to Yusuf and he says to Yusuf that, do you want me to teach you a prayer? That through this prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will rescue you from the depths of this well? Yusuf says, yes. What is the dua? Jibreel dictates the following dua to Yusuf. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi'anna laka alhamdu kull. O Allah, I ask you because all praise is for you. La ilaha illa ant. There is no God but you. Al-Hannan al-Mannan. You are the compassionate. You are the benevolent. Badi'u as-samawati wal-ard. You are the originator of the heavens and the earth. Dhul jalali wal-ikram. You are the possessor of majesty and honor. And the hadith says what? Jibreel says to Yusuf that if you want to get out, say, صلي على محمد وآل محمد واجعل لي من أمري فرجا ومخرجا. He teaches Yusuf that if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rescue you from this predicament, send salutations upon his most beloved servants, Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And when you look at the ahadith, this is a theme that we see emerge from our hadith literature. That when past prophets find themselves in very difficult, dire situations, you find that they recite the salawat upon Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And then Jibreel says to Yusuf, and then say, وَارْزُقْنِ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَحْتَسِبْ وَمِنْ حَيْثُ لَا أَحْتَسِبْ. O Allah, provide me from the places that I anticipate and provide me from unexpected sources. This is a very powerful dua, a very beautiful dua. Now, Yusuf alayhi salam, he's in the well, and now the brothers, they have to go back home. The brothers, they return. In ayah 16, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وجاءوا أباهم عشاء يبكون. Ayah 16. The brothers, they return at the time of Isha. So in this ayah, Allah mentions two things about the brothers. He says they return home at night and they return crying. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He tells a story, He doesn't mention any unnecessary details. This is one of the few times in the story of Yusuf where Allah tells us the time. Allah could have just said, the brothers came back to their father crying. But Allah makes it a point to say, وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءً يَبْكُونَ. They came back at the time of Isha. It's dark. Now, ulama have wondered and they've pondered over this detail. Why did they come back in the evening? Why did they come back in the late afternoon or in the middle of the afternoon? Some ulama have said that the reason why they come back late is they want to be able to tell their father that we spent the entire day looking for him. Because if they come back too early, if the sun is out, the father might say, let us go all together and search for Yusuf. So they have this in mind. Number two, they come back at night because they know that they have to face their father. And this is a period in history where there's no electricity. It's dark. The night can conceal their facial expressions. They want to look as obscure to their father as possible. It's going to be difficult for him to look him in the eyes and lie to him without making it obvious. So they come to him at night and they're crying. Now, what you see here is when you look at the Arabic language, you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very precise when it comes to His word usage. Even something as simple as why Allah said, وَجَاءُ. In the Arabic language, we have جَاءَ, which means to come, and we have أَتَى. Both of them have similar meanings. أَتَى and جَاءَ. What is the difference? جَاءَ means to come with difficulty. Ata is to come with ease. So for example, if you look at the Quran in Surah An-Nasr, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. The help of God came after many challenges. The Prophet and the Muslims had to go through years of struggle and battle and difficulties until the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came and they gained victory. But ata is to come with ease. Ata amrullah. The command of God came with ease. Here Allah says, waja'u abahum isha'i yabkun. It's to highlight that they came, but they were feeling very heavy because of what they had done. Waja'u abahum isha'i yabkun. Another interesting point that we find is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He gives us examples of four different types of tears. There are four types of crying that is mentioned in the Quran. The first is what scholars call dumu'u shawq, the tears that are shed out of longing for something. And these are the tears that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah 5, verse 83, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the crying of Ahlul Kitab when they first hear the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Some of the members of Ahlul Kitab, they've been searching for the truth for many years. And the moment they hear the Quran, they shed tears, tears of longing. They have finally discovered the truth that they had been searching for. So the first tear that is mentioned in the Quran is the tears of longing, the tears of those who are elated when they discover the truth that they had been searching for. Number two is دُمُوعُ الْحُزْنِ وَالْحَسْرَ. Allah in the Quran also describes to us the tears of those who cry out of grief, who cry out of a sense of hasra, regret. In Surah At-Tawbah, Ayah 92, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about some of the companions of the Prophet who were too poor to purchase weapons and horses for jihad. Because, you know, to participate in the battles of Islam, you had to bring your own weapons, you had to have something to ride on. It was a financial commitment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about those poor sahaba who wanted to fight, but there were no horses available for them. There were no weapons available. They did not have money to purchase swords or shields or spears. Allah says, وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا أَلَّا يَجِدُوا مَا يُنْفِقُونَ. They didn't say, oh, alhamdulillah, we are exempt from jihad. They were crying. They were crying over the fact that they did not have the financial resources to purchase weapons and horses and an animal to ride on to participate in this sacred obligation. So these are the tears of sorrow, the tears of regret and remorse. And then you have number three, دُمُوعُ الْخَوْفِ وَالْخُشُوعِ. These are the most praised tears. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He describes the believers, He says, خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا وَبُكِيًّا. There are those who shed tears, not because of worldly concerns. They shed tears because of their fear and their adoration for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the fourth tears are the tears of the brothers of Yusuf. Ad-dumu'u zaifa, what we call crocodile tears, fake tears. And this shows you, my dear brothers and sisters, that these brothers were so hypocritical that they were able to cry on demand. Imagine. This is how much hypocrisy they had. And this is a very difficult position to reach, whereby you are able to induce fake tears. So they come to their father and they're crying. You can imagine, Yaqub is an old man, and his 10 sons, they all barge into the house at night and they're crying. And what did they say? In Ayah 17, قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا إِنَّا ذَهَبْنَا نَسْتَبِقُ. That, oh, our father, we went out and we were racing one another. We were playing a game. وَتَرَكْنَا يُوسُفَ عِنْدَ مَتَاعِنَا فَأَكَلَهُ الذِّئْبُ. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ. What's amazing about this ayah is that it reveals that liars are always going to have inconsistencies in their story. Number one, the first inconsistency is that the day before, they told their father that we want to take Yusuf out. يَرْتَعْ وَيَلْعَبْ. We want to take him out so he can play. But now they're telling their father, we played and we left Yusuf with our provisions. Wasn't the whole point of him going out with you is that he plays? They say, we went and we were racing. وَتَرَكْنَا يُوسُفَ عِنْدَ مَتَاعِنَا فَأَكَلَهُ الذِّئْبُ. Subhanallah, the wolf that you were telling us about, they didn't say a wolf ate him. They used the same expression as their father. The wolf ate him. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ. And you're not going to believe us. They didn't even allow him to speak. You know, when someone has a guilty conscience, Ya'qub hasn't uttered a word. They're already saying, oh, but you're not going to believe us. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ. Again, before Ya'qub can even utter a word, as they're explaining to him what happened to Yusuf, وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيصِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ. What's very sad is that when these brothers, when they threw Yusuf in the well, they also removed his shirt. They took his shirt. And this shows you that these brothers were not, you know, the brightest bulbs, as we say. They did not think, you know, 10 steps ahead. They cast Yusuf in the well, and the Quran says that they covered his shirt with fake blood. Not in the sense that it wasn't real blood. It was real blood. But it was the blood of a goat or a sheep. It wasn't Yusuf's blood. And they made the mistake of presenting an intact shirt to their father. And this is why the narrations say that Ya'qub says, what a kind wolf this was. He ate Yusuf, but he spared his shirt. He was allergic to cotton or something. So, Ya'qub, when he sees this scene, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the reaction. Now imagine you are a father. How would you react to this news? You know, some of us, we go through a period of hysteria, and then later on we calm down, and then we adopt sabr. But true sabr is in how you immediately react to calamities and difficulties. قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. Ya'qub alayhi salam, he has intuition. Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says, اتَّقِ فَرَاسَةِ الْمُؤْمِنِ فَإِنَّهُ يَنْظُرُ بِنُورِ اللَّهِ. Beware of the intuition of a believer, because he sees through the light of God. Do not try to deceive a mu'min, a muttaqi, because Allah Azza wa Jal allows them to see beyond the deception. Ya'qub knows that something terrible has happened. But he doesn't know exactly what has happened. He doesn't know what the brothers have done. But he says what? قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. Your souls have made this affair appealing to you. Your souls have convinced you that this wicked act is something that was acceptable. It's something that was good. And this is the tactic of shaitan, my dear brothers and sisters. Shaitan, he engages in this process of tazyin. He makes things that are abhorrent seem okay. You know, and this doesn't only happen with the brothers of Yusuf. Sometimes we do this on a daily basis. I remember there was a brother that I was speaking to who had recently gotten a job, but the company wasn't paying him what he felt was his due right. He felt that he was underpaid. And almost every day he would go to work late. And he would take long extended lunch breaks. And then when it's brought up to him that, you know, you're on the clock, you should be working. You shouldn't take, you know, these extended lunch breaks. You shouldn't come early and come to work late and leave early. His response was what? Well, they don't pay me well. See? It's a haram action. You're stealing money, time from the company, but you're justifying it by saying, because they don't compensate me fairly, I am justified in cheating. I'm justified in taking advantage and being dishonest. This is exactly what the brothers of Yusuf did. That we want a relationship with our father and we need to get rid of Yusuf. We're doing it because we love our father. They used the love of their father as a justification to get rid of Yusuf alayhi salam. Now, this is what Yaqub says to them. He admonishes them, saying that your souls have led you to this. Your souls have deceived you. So even at this moment, he's giving them tarbiyah. He's giving them spiritual advice. He's diagnosing the problem. And then what does he say? He says this to them, and then he speaks to himself. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. He says, I will exhibit beautiful patience. Not just sabr. صَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. Imam al-Baqir, salawatullahi alayhi, he says, Allahumma salli. When he was asked, what was the meaning of the statement of Ya'qub? When he said, I will display beautiful patience. قال عليه السلام, ذلك صبر ليس فيه شكوى إلى الناس. It is that patience whereby you do not vent and complain to people. You can complain to Allah. You express, in as Ya'qub says later on in the story, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. But you don't go around complaining and trying to gain sympathy from people. You direct your pain and your grief towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. Ya'qub is helpless. He doesn't know where Yusuf is. There is nothing that he can do with his limbs. But even if you can't do anything with your limbs, there is an ibadah that you can do with your heart. And that is what? وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one whom I seek help from with regards to what you have done. This in and of itself, seeking the help of Allah, having hope in Allah, this is ibadah. So even though Ya'qub could not do anything, there was nothing that he could do with his limbs, there was still a form of ibadah that he could engage in. And that is to have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I want to conclude with the following hadith. And that is, why was Ya'qub afflicted with this misfortune, with this calamity? Because nothing happens randomly. Everything happens for a reason. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ash-Shura, He says in Surah 42, Ayah 30, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Allah gives us this general rule of thumb, that whatever affliction comes to you, it is because of what your hands have earned. There are some exceptions, but generally, whatever difficulties, whatever calamities we face, it's a consequence of what we have done. So if something happens to you, if you face a challenge, if you face a trial and tribulation, instead of trying to figure out why this happened, you know, why did this happen to me? Why did this person do this to me? You should go back and ask, what have I done? What sin have I committed? What haq did I usurp? There's a narration from Imam al-Sadiq that gives us a window into why this tragedy happened to the family of Ya'qub. Imam al-Sadiq, he says, إِنَّمَا ابْتَلَى يَعْقُوبَ بُيُوسُفَ أَنَّهُ ذَبَحَ كَبْشًا سَمِينًا وَرَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَصْحَابِهِ يُدْعَى بيوم محتاج لم يجد ما يفطر عليه فأغفله ولم يطعم. Imam al-Sadiq, he says that Ya'qub, he had a friend, a neighbor, a companion by the name of Bayum. And this man, he was hungry. He did not have any food. And it just so happened that that day, Ya'qub had slaughtered a ram, a sheep, a fat sheep. And Ya'qub neglected this hungry man. He fed himself and his family, but he failed to ensure that everyone around him was fed. Now, this does not constitute a legal sin, but for someone like Ya'qub, this fell below the divine standard that is set for prophets. Imam al-Sadiq says, because of that, فَبْتُلِيَ بِيُوسُفْ. Because of that moment of negligence towards a poor person, he was afflicted with Yusuf alayhi salam. وَكَانَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ. After Yusuf was separated from him, every morning, Ya'qub would send out a caller. Every morning he would send someone out who would call out, مَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ صَائِمًا فَلْيَشْهَدْ غَدَاءَ يَعْقُوبَ. In the morning, Ya'qub would send out someone, one of his servants, to call out to the people of the village, whoever is not fasting, come and have breakfast or lunch with Ya'qub. فَإِذَا كَانَ الْمَسَاءُ نَادَى مَنْ كَانَ صَائِمًا فَلْيَشْهَدْ عَشَاءَ يَعْقُوبَ. And at night, Ya'qub would send another person, the same person, to go out and say, whoever was fasting today, let them come and have dinner with Ya'qub alayhi salam. So you see, brothers and sisters, sometimes it's little things that result in great calamities that fall upon us. We might not realize that the difficulties that we face today, the sickness, the financial trouble that we have, maybe it's because of a mu'min that we neglected many years ago. Maybe there was a believer who needed help and we turned our backs. Maybe we backbited someone and now we're paying the price for it. This is why in the month of Ramadan, and in fact all year round, we should always make it a habit of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us the sins that we are aware of, and more importantly, to forgive us for those sins that we're unaware of, that have severe consequences. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us and guide us and illuminate our hearts with the teachings of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.